It just gives you peace and comfort. And for this reason, I'm so grateful for that. So, and also for our brothers from Iran who came here, and it's a big encouragement because now my testimony would be so much, I mean, a little bit more, I mean, just practical, because there are some Farsi listeners who can testify to what I am speaking, whether there are truth or not, you know, that's, I'm so happy for that. So for those of you who know my, who do not know my name, I'm Ali. I was born in an Islamic, like when I was teenagers, it became to be an Islamic country. But when I was a teenager, the time that I went to school, you know, it was Pahlavi's time. This is a picture of our classes at that time. So during this time, when I went to school, the Islamic Revolution broke out, you know, and, you know, a transition from Pahlavi's regime, who was the king ruled over the country, and the system was completely different. So the transition was stepping into an Islamic country. And so I was born there. And it was when I was 12 years old. And it led me to be involved in Islamic, I mean, theology, which leads us to second picture. At that time, you know, people, teenagers, high schools, were, you know, started to be dominated by Islamic theology because the government were, I mean, from the people who were theologians and who were Islamic, I mean, fundamentalists. So I just was attracted to that movement. And as I grew up, I realized that there is something not sufficient in Islamic faith, even though I was, you know, growing in that kind of system, I was feeling a kind of emptiness into my heart. You know, I felt that I was always wearing a mask, you know, so that I show up, you know, I am someone that, you know, people would like to see me, or Islam wants to see me. And it just led me to go to second picture, just begin to think a little bit more if what I am doing is right or not. And I felt there is an emptiness in what I believed, but I could not point out, here is the weaknesses. So I began to think, and I began to think, okay, it's good if I go to the university to study philosophy. And I had three questions written in my pocket, caring all the time. Where have I come from? And where I am going to? And why I'm here? And it was taken from a poem, I mean, of a poet in Farsi language. I always thought, you know, about these questions, and I said, okay, I will go to the university and I will find the answers to my questions. So I went to the university, and, you know, every morning I grabbed my bag, you know, about an hour and a half, you know, just going there by bus, and rushed into the class, waiting that professors, philosophers come, with the hope that sometime I get the answer to my questions. But the years passed, and it came to the time that I was going to be graduated. And my questions were still there, you know. I didn't get the answer to my questions. And the last semester, we had a credit which is called religions. So our professor asked us to write a paper on religions, and he wrote on the board different kind of topics, but Christianity was not there, you know. There was not Christianity on the board. And to my surprise, I said, oh, why no mention about Christianity? But I went to him and I said, I want to do my research on Christianity, if you do not mind. And he said, yes, that's fine, you can do that. So I started my, research on Christianity, but to my point of view, Christianity was buildings, you know, and it was not the message. It was not Christ. For me, it was buildings. Whatever buildings I saw, you know, just look like not familiar to mosque, you know, and I saw, oh, this is a church, so I went in. And mostly those churches are Armenian. But anyway, I started going to the churches and visiting one church after another. And, I participated in the Lord's Supper, but I didn't understand anything, you know. And, but the joy in the church, you know, in the people was something that attracted me, you know, especially women and men. We're worshiping the Lord together, and it is very odd in Islamic context. You know, you should be separate from each other when you go to a mosque or to a holy place to worship God. So for me, it was very interesting, and I wanted just to be among all people, not because of, just something of some kind of sexual desires or whatever, or those things. No, just being together, worshiping the Lord, it just gave me a kind of freedom and how to approach God. So that was very interesting for me. But it's still, you know, since I had questions, this participation in the churches did not give the answer to my questions. And that's why I decided to leave the country. So I decided to leave the country, and the reason was, why I left the country was two. First of all, you know, get a better life financially. And second, and I think the second one was had the priority, was to receive the answer to my questions, you know. And I said to my brothers, I want to get the answer to my questions. I did not receive the answers through books. I want to see what the world will give it to me. So I left the country without even carrying a book or any, I hated the books. I began to hate the books. So I left the country and I ended up in Ukraine. And in Ukraine, I was invited by some people to attend the church, an Iranian church. And for me, it was very interesting. I asked if there is an Iranian church. They said, yes, there is an Iranian church. So because I was curious to find out the answers to my questions, I decided to go to the church. And I attended the church for a year. But during that time, I became more religious. I mean, I became to defend Islam, you know. And as if I was just very zealous. And, you know, when I heard the gospel and about Christ, the deity of Christ, I became more, Islamic theologians decided to defend it. So it went on for a year. But to my surprise, you know, the church leaders, people, friends, did not reject me, you know. We just discussed, argued a lot of times, but they didn't say, you go away, you know, we are done with you, you know, you don't come to church anymore. You know, we need to spend our time with others. No, they just welcomed me all the time. And so even they trusted me to do some translation, which leads us to another picture. And this book by Charles Swindoll, at that time I was, they said, can you help us to translate these articles for the church people? You know, it was, for me, it had a lot of, it was useful, but I did not understand, you know, lots of it, because I did not have that appraisal feeling of understanding the Word of God. I did not have the Holy Spirit to tell me, you know, why David didn't want to kill Saul. I translated that, but I did not understand what it means. It was all on the surface. But anyway, I did even that, you know, translation for the church. And all of these was in 1993, back 30 years ago. But it ended up, you know, to this point, stage of my life, I went back to Iran. But at the time when I stepped into Tehran, you know, I just felt I am thirsty to be in that church in Turkey again, you know. The moment that I, you know, got off the bus, I traveled by bus from Turkey to Tehran, you know, that moment I said, oh, I want to come back to that church. But it was late, you know, I was in Iran. And then after a while, I could not stay there anymore. So I left for this time to Ukraine, which, you know, leads me to another, to the next slide. You know, in Ukraine, I just decided to be no one. You know, I just, I decided if I want to be someone, I would be a Christian, but not you know, any other person. But I even did not follow my Christian, I mean, lifestyle or going to a church. I followed a secular Ukrainian life, which summarized in working money for money, you know, drinking, smoking, and having fun. And I had that kind of life for almost maybe 6 or 7 years. And broken in heart and completely damaged, not only I did not receive the answer to my questions, but more questions came into my mind, and my heart was completely broken. At least in Iran, back in Iran, I had some prestigious life. You know, I was a teacher. You know, I was not drawn card. You know, people respected me. But here, I lost everything. You know, I was just empty completely. And then one time, while drinking and all in my, you know, drunk heart, I mean, situation, I cried to God. I said, if you are there, help me. Help me. Bring me out of this mess, you know. I want to taste again the life, the church life which I had in Turkey. And I cried while I was drunk heart. And it led me to another picture, which a week later, I went to a friend. I saw this newspaper, I mean, just a Kiev Post. And over there, I saw the advertisement of a church inviting, if you want to know the gospel, you know, we are a church, we welcome you in English language. And my English was a little bit better than my Russian at that time, I mean, 22 years ago. So I decided to attend this church. I wrote the address, I attended the church, and it was just as if yesterday. It was just as if yesterday. When I stepped into the church, a person just shouted, said, hello. He approached me. I said, this person probably knows me, but we didn't meet before, you know. And he said, I'm Sam. I said, I'm Ali. I said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I'm a Christian too. And I asked, is it a church? He said, yes, it is a church. And I said, can I attend? Yes, please. You know, he said to me, he was the pastor of the church. So he showed me, I mean, the congregation, at that time, Bible teacher was teaching. And he said, you can attend the Bible study. After this, we have our service. And I asked him, how much money do I need to pay for the attending the class, the Bible class? He said, nothing. You know, it's free. And I said, why? How is this possible? In Iran, we pay for everything. especially for education. We need to pay for that. I said, no, it's for free. So I attended the sermon, and for a year I attended the church, assuming that I am a Christian, you know. But finally, after a year, I realized that, oh, it seems I am not a Christian, I asked myself. And because I see I am different. I see the church people, you know, live in a certain way, but I am living in another way. But people do not say anything to me, you know. When I left the church, the first thing that I grabbed was my bottle of, beer. And it was the thing that I did after the church. And I kept my, style of drinking, and also all of, I did exactly what I did, but plus that, I went to church. You know, that's what I did. And sometimes, you know, a guest speaker was speaking at the church, and he said to me, not to me, I tell you, he was talking to me. And he said, maybe you are sitting there and you think you are a Christian. Maybe you are deceiving yourself. You are not a Christian because you have not dealt with your problem of sin. And this word sin, I have heard several times, thousands of times. But all the time I ridiculed it. I mocked over it. I said, what kind of sin? I have not done lots of sin. My sins are not great. My sons is so simple. And plus that, God will forgive. And I have heard that Jesus have died for the people, as today we heard that, you know, it's not the matter that God saved you or not. It is a question. But for me was that at that time my imagination was, okay, God forgave, died for me, and I am forgiven. So, but I felt that inside me, and I wanted to shout and to empty myself, saying, church, I am not a Christian. Really, I am not a Christian, but I shied. I shied how to do that. And I don't know how, but I saw myself at the, front of my pastor, the one whom I said I am a Christian a year ago. And he whispered into my ear, do you want now become a Christian? Do you really want this time? And I said, yes, I want. So he prayed for me, and I became a Christian. And from that day on, you know, I stopped taking my beer, my bottle of beer after the church, you know. And I started my struggling with hating sin. I'm not talking about particular sins. I'm not going to mention. The sins that I was struggling with was smoking and drinking. And I don't want to say that what is sin, what is not a sin. But for me, smoking was a sin, you know. And I really could not get rid of that. And Christ helped me on the process of 1 year struggling. I got off smoking, got off drinking, got off worrying about tomorrow, fighting with my family. We still fight, but maybe once a month. But at that time, once a day or twice a day, or I don't know how many times a day. You know, I still worry, but I know that, you know, my worry is a sin. I confess to him. But at that time, I was just drawn in those kind of sins. And it took a year for me to just come out a bit of those dirtiness. And then this, transition led me to, led us to next slide, which God talked into my heart to give up working for life and working for, you know, for the gospel. And I decided to have Lord Jesus as my Lord. I decided to work for him, not for another boss. And I don't want to say it is wrong. It is good to work for a boss. You have a boss. But I decided to work for the Lord because I decided and I saw how much need there is in Iranian and, you know, Persian culture for, you know, for gospel task. I saw the need, and I decided to commit myself for the ministry. My pastor, his picture is here. I believe next slide is, no, it is not here. I'm sorry, I have it here. But he led me to go to the Bible college. He prayed for me, and he will be here in 2 months. Wherever I go, he's after me. As the Lord is after you, you know, he is after me wherever I go. And he came to visit us in England. He came to visit us. He's going to come to visit us here. And I really appreciate those kind of mentors and pastors who follow their disciples. And so I went to the Bible college, and our Bible college was also small, like the church. That's why I love the small communities. You know, we can just be friendship. We can grow in those. I mean, which led us to other pictures as well. You know, we had a Bible college, and then a church ministry started. We did so many works among Iranians, so many works, you know, and people were drug addicted. People were not proper marriage relationships. You know, these days there's a very common, people just live together, you know. And we live together with my wife, the present wife, that my wife is here right now. We just live before my faith. These are all I didn't mention because it takes a lot of time. So we had a common life. But when I became a Christian, you know, and I said, we cannot live that way, you know. And so we separated. And in a year, she became a Christian. And then we said, okay, now we are going to be united, you know. And many, many Iranians have that kind of lifestyle, especially those who leave Iran, come to Europe or Canada. They see a kind of freedom, and they begin to live together without marriage. And we had several marriages, you know, husband and wife. They came to Christ. They said, we need to be married in the church. And lots of people, lots of homeless people, lots of people like me who were drunk art, they became Christians. You know, for 10 years or maybe more, we had ministry among Farsi-speaking people. And I don't know how the Lord worked out. I don't know, but we see the results. We see the people who were trained in that church, small church in Ukraine. Now there are missionaries in Sweden and in United States, America, and in Europe, and in Germany, in the city of Gießen, there is a ministry among Iranians who the people who are leading there are a couple, missionary couples from America, who were in Ukraine and just working with Farsi church and learning Farsi language. Now they are doing the ministry over there. You know, these are all the things that God did. And plus that, my personal, just ministry alongside the church ministry was trying to add something to Christian, Iranian Christian literatures, you know, because we are weak in Farsi language. We don't have that much Christian literature. This is an article, Christ Our Substitute, and it was written by a doctor of a theologians, you know, who was my professor. And a tremendous book, Grace of God and Sanctification. So we translated this article and we used it in the church. And plus that, you know, we got to know Good Seed International, who is in your country, based in Olds. You know, at that time, I did not know anything about Olds, but I just knew, you know, John Cross and the Good Seed International, mission. So they do tremendous, amazing, you know, articles and books, and create visual aids to present the gospel to those who do not know Christ. So one of these books are the prophets, you know, this book, All That the Prophets Have Spoken. And I don't know how the Lord led me, but it came out in Ukraine, in that poor country economically. It took 3 years this project be done, you know, and when I look at this, when I am going to read it right now myself, you know, I'm astonished, you know. And I say, praise you, Lord, who led me to just bring this. You know, how much money we had in Ukraine, whatever business we did, it's all gone. It's all gone. But this will stay forever, you know. And this will go into Iranian cultures, Iranian people's heart. And that's when I look at this, I said, Lord, I want other things to do, which will not be perished. I mean, imperished projects. And then that's why the Lord, you know, talked into the heart of John and Goodseed. They have another book, which is Captive and the King's Will. This book is a follow-up to this book for those people who have just become Christians and they want to know how to grow. So this book, I am working on that, you know, coming into Calgary just for this project. Because when John and Goodseed asked me to do it, we were in England. I said, John, if you want me to translate this, and if you want me to be in England, yes, if we were in Ukraine, I could do that. Because we had our house, we had our church, we were established, I could do it. But in England, you know, I'm a baker. And, you know, so if I want to come back to ministry and being a baker, it will not work out. But for the sake of doing the ministry, we are ready to move. So even though my wife didn't want to move, and still she doesn't want because she, you know, it's very hard for her to adapt it. So she said, okay, I'll come. Now we are all together, my son and I, and we are together here. And I pray that the Lord will work in my life. 7 months have been passed, and a year and maybe 4 months still there to finish this project. And that's why we are here, and it's a privilege to be with you at the church. Now I know that a church is behind me. Pray for me. And support me spiritually so that we can go forward to finish this project. Of course, alongside with this, we are not just sleeping. We have friends here. We want to reach nations. We want to reach people for Christ, especially Iranians. Right now, a person comes to me every Saturday, and we study the prophets together. And we have booklets, I mean, Christian literature. Wherever we go, we see Iranians, Farsi-speaking people. We do not close our eyes. We just want to share the gospel with them. And it's good to have a church to at least invite them, okay, to worship the Lord together. So God bless you, and thank you so much for this time that He gave me to share. Thank you. I'm done. Yes, please.
Have you ever heard of Jay Smith?
I'm afraid not. I'm sorry.
Does everybody know what Farsi is? The language they speak in Iran. Okay. You can ask that kind of question too.
Yeah, Farsi is you know, spoken in Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan, and it's an ancient language, and Persians spoke, and it is more, I mean, lots of words which we find in Farsi has their roots in Hebrew or Aramaic language. And yes, and they're still using that. For example, in Iranian culture, when they want to pray sometimes, they use Bar-e-Laha. And they just start the prayer with Bar-e-Laha. But if you ask a person what Bar-e-Laha means, really they don't have a clue what does Bar-e-Laha means. But Bar means sun in Aramaic. And Elaha means God. So Bar-e-Laha means son of God. And we see that the root of, I mean, worshiping the son of God is in Iranian culture, but people do not know that. And Farsi language is very, very related. I mean, their roots is in Aramaic and Hebrew. And that's why those who are very sensitive to Iranian culture, they say, oh, Iranian culture, Iranian language is mixed with Arabic language. And they want to delete all these Arabic words, which because of, I mean, the bad influence of Arabic culture into Iranian culture. They want to delete these words, which is a completely wrong motivation, because these words, before they have their roots in Arabic language, they have their roots in Aramaic and Hebrew language. And we should be proud of that, that our language has its roots in Hebrew and Aramaic. And there are lots of words, so many words that we can see. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And look at the word even shalom, which in Farsi language they say salam. And salam has been changed to durud by some people. They say, okay, we don't say salam, we say durud. Of course, durud has also meaning, it's good, but salam itself, when we look at shalom, which means peace, it's not just a greeting. It is just peace from all sides, spiritually, outwardly, in the family, in the society. That shalom means that meaning. And we have this beautiful word in our Farsi language, salam, which we say salam, and it's a very peaceful word, you know. And we can point to so many other words as well. Yes, sir. Yes, exactly. That's exactly. We noticed the time that we had the ministry, and I think our brothers and sisters can testify that the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, as I talk to you about this project, which we did in Ukraine, you know, if it was not the leadership of Holy Spirit, it would never, ever happen, you know. And about the gospel, we had people in Ukraine, still one of them is inside Ukraine, cannot leave the country, and he didn't want to leave the country. He said that I want to serve the Lord here in Ukraine. He became a Christian through Farsi speaking ministry inside Kiev. When he was writing a paper, a booklet, as I was talking about, I was doing my research on Christianity, he was writing a booklet, why Muslims are not allowed to eat swine. He was writing that article in his office in Kiev. And somebody knocked at the door. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing my paper. Why these, blasphemers are eating swine. Islam says you shouldn't eat swine. And this guy said to him, why are you wasting your time? And he said, no, I'm not wasting my time. And he said, do you want to go to America? And he said, yes, of course I want to. I don't mind if I go to America. And he said to him, okay, I'll take you to a church. You say you are a Christian, and the church will send you to America. And he said, okay, let's go. So they came to our church, and they came in a small church, you know, smaller than yours. And we were singing, you know, Christ loves you, you know, he wants to forgive you. He says he came and sat the first, Sunday and left and said to his friend, where is my document? I want to go to America. And he said to him, wait a minute, just you came one day. Come another day as well. And he came next Sunday, and he kept coming next Sunday, and he kept coming for 5 months. And then he became a Christian. And he said, I realized I had wrong motivation. And this person started, instead of writing papers for Islamic government, he started to write poems in Farsi language, praising God. Now he has written two collections of each 100 songs in Farsi language. And those songs we sang at the church. You know, in our church in Ukraine, we were not familiar with the songs which are sung in other churches. We had our own songs. And it was a privilege because our, you know, vision was to add something to Iranian culture, Christian cultures. And this guy, whose name is Abbas, he was tremendous by being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in his life amazingly, tremendously, you know. He got, tuberculosis. And he was in the hospital, you know, to the death. You know, we could not visit him. We went into the park, which was close to the hospital. He was in his room, and we as a church were there in the yard praying for him and having our worship service right in the park just behind the hospital. Then he was healed, and he got freed of the hospital. And now he's serving the Lord. So we can testify the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, not just for one time, you know, many, many times. Yes?
I just want to add to what you said. The culture of Middle East is for them easy to believe in supernatural dreams or visions than Western culture. Here is more up here, theology, but in farther Middle East, they believe in supernatural miracles.
Yes, thank you.
We just have like two or three minutes left before we. I said you can ask as much time as you want, but we do have to end because we have to put everything away and be out of here by one. Can you speak a little bit, if you want to, maybe putting it as well, about your upcoming trip and what it is that you're seeking the Lord for right now? What is it? So, what are you asking the Lord to show you? And what is it that you require from, for example, us?
First of all, I would like you to pray for us because we really want to know where to stay. You know, one of the things that I want you to pray is pray for my wife to her heart to be changed, you know, and her eyeglasses, you know, be changed. And I know there are some realities that we cannot close our eyes to. I know that she has allergy, you know. When she, in the morning she wake up and all her hands are just, I mean, like that watery, I mean, spots, you know. And then she needs to take, I mean, allergy tablets, you know, to get rid of them. And I know that there are lots of issue for adaptation. But I ask you to pray for her. Just the Lord change her heart. If you are going to stay here, we are going to stay here. If we are going to, I mean, go to another country, back to England or farther, the Lord shows us, gives us peace so that we can at least leave with this source that we have a church behind us to pray for us. Yeah. That is the very thing that I want you to pray for us. Thank you very much.
And you're going to?
We plan to go to Armenia, but it's canceled. It's canceled. It's all related because of our, you know, this time we wanted to go together. You know, as for me, from a year ago, it was scheduled for me to go to Armenia this time of the year. But I was not ready to go by myself. I didn't want to leave her alone. And there was not a program for her. So we decided not to go. We will serve the Lord here this year. I mean, in Calgary. If the Lord leads us and helps us, you know. Yeah. Yes, sir.
When did your questions?
Okay, that's a very good question. I missed that part. It was a part of my testimony. And thanks so so much for your attention to that. You know, when I became a Christian, I mean, the pastor prayed for me, and he said to me, he encouraged me to go to Bible college. And I said, oh, yeah, I will go, but not to get the answers to my questions, because I have already got the answer to my question when I realize I am a sinner. When I realize I am a sinner and I need to get rid of my sins, you know, it was that time that I received the answer to my questions. Sins for me blocked, you know, to receive the answer to my spiritual questions. But when I believed in Jesus Christ and that melts, I mean, that wall of sin just went away, I just got to know the answer for where have I come from, to where I am going, and why I am here. And then I went to Bible college not to get answer to this question, but to get ready for the ministry. And the Lord opened the door. Then I went to Bible college for 2 years. It was also the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the time that I wanted to start the Bible college, it was snow, and my wife fell and broke her leg. And for 6 months, she had her leg in cast. And we were demanded thousands of dollars for operation, which in Ukraine, that was impossible for us, or she had to be in cast for 5 months until, you know, the body recovers by itself. So we decided not to do the operation. But what I did, I woke up in the morning, went to Bible college, prepared everything beside her bed, you know, food, whatever she needed. And at that 6 months, she got weight, so much weight. And then I came after Bible college, cleaned everything, you know, at that time. So that was, I hope you received the answer to your questions. Yeah.
Okay. We have to end there just because of the limits that we have. But thank you very much, Ali.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Blessing helping you.
This is also, you can grab, if you want, one of the booklets of, I mean, Good Seed International, you can grab.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.